Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 187 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling a most serious subject, suicide on the farm. About my conversation with Don McMorrin, WSU Skagit County Extension Director based out of Burlington, Washington. Aaron Esser, Extension Agronomist in Adams and Lincoln Counties, directed me to McMorrin after I ran across some troubling statistics referring to suicides among farmers. Those numbers, which came out of the Midwest, were staggering. During a four-year period between 2014 and 2018, nearly 500 farmers took their lives within states that represent some of the most productive farmland in the world. Anybody who has been involved in agriculture more than a few years, however, knows productivity is only part of the farming equation. Without market prices sufficient to overcome costs, farmers eat deeper into their equity, hoping for a payoff in the future. And if the payoff doesn't come? In another business, it might be easier to walk away earlier, but for most farmers, the farm is not just their job. It's a member of the family, a connection to forebears who suffered through bleak times and survived. If you've lived long enough, you likely know someone who has either committed suicide or tried to. I remember Steve Call, city attorney in Fairbanks, Alaska, when I was a reporter there in the late 1970s. Fairbanks was a wild little town then, and there was a lot of interaction between me and the attorney representing the city. But then he left for a job with the state, and our interaction ceased. 6 months later, word came that he shot himself. A few months later, being the reporter I was, I did a story on his suicide, talking to family members about the repercussions. For it is the family who are left to face not just the individual's absence, but how that absence occurred, shouldering guilt that comes with thoughts of, if only, if only. Over the years, McMorrin has known three farmers who took their lives. The third tragedy happened not long ago and fueled his determination to make a difference within the community he holds dear. Growing up on his father's farm, he would have liked to have farmed himself, but the farm wasn't big enough. Besides, the job he has now in the town where he grew up is a great consolation prize. I began our conversation by asking McMorrin why he decided to take on such a difficult issue as farmer suicide.
We had a suicide on our farm. My dad's hired man died of suicide back in 1997. And so it's always something that I wanted to get involved with. I really didn't know how. And so then we had some more suicides, 2016, 2017. And then in 2019, we had one that was hit a little closer to home. It was a gentleman that I had worked with when I worked at the Skagit Conservation District. And he happened to have been an uncle to a person I went to high school with. And also a great uncle to my girls, my twin daughters. They're 11 years of age. So they're best friends with his grandniece. And so when that happened, I came into the office the next day and I asked my staff, I said, you know, we just can't have this anymore. We gotta do something about this. And would you mind jumping in with me and start some work on this process? And they, of course, agreed, and the rest is kind of history. We first got involved with the State Department of Health. They had received some money from the Legislative Task Force that looked specifically at agricultural suicides, and they needed some help outreaching to agriculture, and because of my background and connectivity with the agriculture world, we started the first Skagit County pilot project for suicide prevention.
And this was what year?
So this was 2019, last year.
All right. And now you're looking at more funding, is that right?
That is correct. So we took those funds and we leveraged them for a federal grant called FARSAN, a Farmer Ranch Stress Assistance Network. And we were a recipient of some funds in 2019 for a one-year project with them. And then most recently, we just hit send on another grant for a much larger amount to cover all of the West. So 13 states in the West and 4 territories. And so we have partners in each one of those locations that wants to team up with this office and offer assistance in agricultural suicide prevention.
Wonderful. Wow. You can feel good about going to work every day. Now, of course, suicide is even, I believe, a bigger problem in the Midwest. Close to 500 farmers in Midwest states have taken their lives from 2014 to 2018, a four-year period. Do you have any number on farmer suicides in the Pacific Northwest?
I don't have specific numbers for the Northwest, but as you look at general numbers outside of agriculture, the Northwest, it has the highest incidence of suicide in the nation. So as you look at the top 5 states for suicides, it's Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, Nevada, New Mexico, and Idaho, all located in the West. So it's definitely an issue here, and it is very prevalent in agriculture. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't have the specific numbers, but I think it's all based on your risk tolerance, right? 500 in the Midwest is a lot. Well, we're having a lot in the Northwest as well. And in my personal perspective, you know, if you have one, that's too many. And right here in my little county, depending on how you look at it, we had, you might call it 2.5. I'm going to call it 3, and we'll discuss it later, Scott. But we've had a major issue with agricultural suicides, enough for me to want to jump in and do something about it through my extension work.
All right. Now, I have read that farmers have more suicides than any other occupation in the U.S., and that actually it's 3.5 times greater than the general population. Do you have any notion about what is driving those numbers?
Yeah, there was actually an update to those numbers, so it's actually just 2 to 3 times the national average, and I probably shouldn't put just in there because that's way too much in my perspective. But, you know, I think about how agriculture has changed within, you know, the lifetime of my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, and my time. I think about how much risk farmers take on for how little reward they receive. You know, my father will tell you the story of how all the things that he purchases, the equipment, the fuel, the fertilizer, the chemicals, all the prices are up on that, but yet he receives sometimes less for the product that he sells than what he received when he was first starting out. So there's been a lot of inflation in a lot of categories, and unfortunately that hasn't taken place in the commodities that farmers are selling. So that puts a lot of pressure on them to perform. And when you have all that pressure, you're going to see increases in suicide rates.
Fascinating. So are we talking primarily about men when we're talking about suicides in agriculture?
Yes, men are 1.8 times more likely to die of suicide than females.
Now, is that the general population or is that just in farming?
No, once again, that's general population. You know, unfortunately, farmers are down to, depending on which research you're finding, somewhere in that range of 1% to 2% of the population. So they're really hard to get really good statistics on, especially when you talk to farmers and they say, you know, I don't want to fill out a census or I don't want to talk to anybody in the government. It's a really hard audience to connect up with. But I'm very fortunate through my background and experience that I've gotten a bit of an in with them and feel really good about the work that we've been able to provide and outreach. You know, when we're doing these workshops and we're spending time talking about agricultural suicide prevention, that's a really tough topic. And I find that, you know, they don't want to talk about it necessarily during the meeting, but after the meeting at the local watering hole, they'll come up to me and they'll say, "Don, you know, this work that you're doing is very important. We're very thankful for it. It's really going to help out my neighbor. He's really stressed out. And so I'm glad you're doing this." It's never themselves. It's always the neighbor.
Is there a particular age for farmers to commit suicide?
Age range wise, you're looking at the group between 45 and 64 years of age is the highest group to die of suicide. And then the second largest group is 85 and older. Then you kind of do this dynamic where those age groups are the highest to actually die of suicide, but those are having the most amount of thoughts, suicidal thoughts. Those are in that younger category, the 18 to 25 year olds.
When I mentioned earlier that 500 farmers in the Midwest had taken their lives, that's a lot, but isn't it usually the case that suicides are underreported?
It really is. Unfortunately, we have this stigma within the United States that we just don't want to talk about it. So even the families that I've talked to after the fact of farmers and farm workers that have died of suicide in my county, they don't want me talking about it at the community level or even on a podcast like your own. So that's something that we have to get over. We have to get over the thought of not talking about that subject. So I find, once again, when I'm hosting these conversations at our workshops, that's really changing that dynamic. It's making it okay to talk about it. So we just got to continue on that track and be open and honest with one another, because there are people thinking about suicide all the time. And if we can get over that short transition, my neighbor happens to be an emergency doctor here in the county. And he says that, you know, the getting over, there's about a 15-minute period of time. And if you can get somebody through that short amount of time, you can often change their opinions on suicide. So, yes, we need to get out there. We need to be talking about it. And we need to make sure that if people are in crisis, we're getting them the help that they need.
In regard to that question I asked, in unreported suicides, are there also just suicides that look like something else? I mean, you know, car accidents, for instance, and do we count those or should we?
Those are really hard questions, Scott. I don't have the perfect answer for you. And that's why I say, you know, in Skagit County, between 2016 and 2019, did we have 3 suicides? Did we have 2.5? Because, you know, one of them, in my opinion, I believe the person intentionally went out and intentionally drank too much and intentionally drove his vehicle into something that was not going to move and was not wearing a seatbelt. So, you know, is it a suicide? Is it, you know, drinking while driving? Those are conversations that we can have offline. I think the important thing here is that we realize that, yes, probably suicides are underrepresented and under talked about within our communities. So we need to make sure that we're going that extra distance and just being aware of it, that, hey, you know, suicide's something that it's not something that we typically talk about. It's not something that we want to report on. And it's okay to get over some of those stigmas.
I've heard suicide described as a permanent solution for a temporary situation. But if the situation is you're going to lose the farm your great-great-grandfather homesteaded in 1885, that loss is pretty permanent, isn't it? How can you feel anything but horrible about that?
Exactly. And those are really tough conversations. And what I'm saying is that, you know, maybe we have to have these conversations that it's okay to fail in agriculture today because the cards are not the same cards that your ancestors were playing with. The whole way we do business in agriculture has changed. It's turned global. There's more competition, and it's just harder. So just being aware of that and having those conversations, you know, we can educate farmers and we can get them to look at their bottom line and say, you know what, maybe farming isn't profitable anymore and maybe I got to do something different, unfortunately.
Don, does everybody think of suicide once in a while, or is this something that just a few people?
Once again, I think it's really underreported. As we're talking about the general population, it is said that around 4% of Americans are having suicidal thoughts. That's what's reported on an annual basis. I believe that number to be higher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've talked about suicide rates in rural America. I mean, are these farmers? Are these rural residents? I mean, why are rates higher in rural America?
Yeah, definitely higher in farmers as well as farm workers. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the isolation and being alone a lot of the time. You know, as I was going through a lot of this data, it says if you've been divorced, your chances of suicide is higher. If you're alone, if you're not married. And so it's just kind of a lot of these things that are stacked against us as a society. And, you know, farmers, I was always taught you're supposed to have the stiff upper lip. You're not supposed to talk about it. So I think that puts added pressure on our rural communities and increases the suicide rates.
Interesting. So religion is a big part of rural America. Is there a way that church leaders can assist in reducing the number of suicides?
Boy, great question, Scott. And I believe that they do. I believe that, you know, our folks that are working as religious leaders in our communities need to move forward and have these difficult conversations. I think the more we talk about it, the more we reduce the stigma, and the better off rural America is going to be. So I highly encourage them to get involved.
Is there a most prevalent method to suicide? And I know this sounds pretty macabre, but, you know, some methods perhaps work better than others.
Yeah. So as you look to the data, number one is guns. Then number two is strangulations. And then number three is an overdose with medications. And guns happens to be much higher in usage than the other methods that I mentioned.
Okay. Now, you talked about how agriculture has changed since, you know, 1885 when the ground was homesteaded. But I mean, it's changed in the past 20 years too, really, when you think about all of the technology that's out there. And of course, farmers are on social media as well as the general public. Is there any correlation between social media and suicide rates?
Yeah, the data indicates that social media is having an impact on suicide rates. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, bullying and people really putting other people down. So I would just encourage people to, you know, try to make your post as uplifting as possible, and just try to look after your fellow man, because we're all in this together.
Yes, indeed. What about therapy, Don? Based on the farmers I know, the touchy-feely stuff, including therapy, may not be appreciated, as in I'm not going to pay somebody $75 an hour to tell me how to live. Does therapy help, and how do you sell it to the agricultural community?
I believe it does help, Scott. Once again, anytime you can talk about a subject, especially as difficult as suicide, I think it's going to benefit the person that's on that other end. So getting them in to see a certified therapist would definitely help. But I realize that's a difficult subject to broach with farmers. You know, number one, they don't want to spend the money. Number two, you know, that there's a stigma that goes along with seeing a therapist, and why would you want to go see a head shrink, and what's the matter with you, and all those sorts of questions come around. But if you need help, if you are having suicidal thoughts, then we need to get you help. So there's a great suicide line that's available to you, and we recommend using that and getting in touch with somebody, chatting with a friend, a neighbor. We do have a very good, we call it the Fishing Buddies video. It's actually put together by our good friends in Idaho, and it really talks about how a friend, a neighbor can really help you get through those difficult times. Once again, you know, that number that we're talking about is, it's about a 15-minute segment that if we can step in, we can get these folks help. They're going to make much better decisions in the future. So whatever it takes to get that done, I'm in favor for it.
Don, when it comes to people considering suicide, there are cues you can read, right? What are those cues?
That's correct. So just look for things that are out of place. You know, typically our farmers, they have these routines. You know, they get up, they feed the animals, they look after the crops, they take meticulous care of a piece of equipment or a home or something of that nature, and just be looking for things kind of falling apart, not being the usual self. So, you know, the farmer doesn't want to go out and take care of his crop, or oftentimes we see that they want to start giving things away. That's how you really know that something's really off. Hey, I want to give you my prize convertible because I'm not going to be around here anymore. Oh, what's going on there? And it's okay to ask the really hard question. Say, are you having suicidal thoughts? And then if they answer yes, then you can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. So that number is 1-800-273-8255. Once again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And there's also a text line. So you can text HEAL, the letters HEAL, to 741-741. Once again, the text line is, you write HEAL in the text, HEAL, and then you send that off to 741-741. You know, not everybody wants to talk about it. So oftentimes my farmers will say, hey, you got that text crisis line for those millennial kids, don't you? And I say, no, actually, we found that, you know, farmers oftentimes don't want to talk about it verbally. So if they want to just text that, then that keeps them a little more removed from the process and everything's kept very confidential. So two good ways to get some help.
Those numbers to call, which I'll repeat one more time before the close of the show, are not just for people who are thinking about suicide. They're also for people who worry that someone they know might be contemplating suicide. They can help provide the tools needed to intercede. For the record, the average price received for wheat last year was $4.58 per bushel, with an estimate that it will rise to a whopping $4.60 per bushel in 2021. Luckily, here in eastern Washington, it appears production this year will help make up for low prices. The per bushel yield for winter wheat in Washington was recently estimated at a near record 74 bushels an acre, with 60 bushels an acre for spring wheat, which would tie a record. In other words, it could be worse. I hope you have, if not enjoyed, then appreciated the information conveyed in episode 187, which I entitled, A Most Serious Subject, Suicide on the Farm, about my conversation with Don McMorrin, director of Washington State University's Skagit County Extension Office. Once again, the suicide hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. Or text the word HEAL, H-E-A-L, to 741-741. Please join me here again next week for another episode of Weed All About It!
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat. But there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.